Some of that said earlier, last week we started a new theme, looking at worship in the wilderness, thinking about the metaphor of wilderness through our journey in Lent. And as I said earlier, in lots of my conversations, people are finding lockdown number three really tough, and maybe you are as well. Lots of people saying that they are surviving, but they're not thriving at the moment. And we can all understand the reasons why that would be. For some, a wilderness experience seems a real experience at the moment. A set apart time, an exile perhaps, a time of learning and looking at life differently and rethinking what's important. Those sounds positive, but also a time that's challenging and confusing and often hard and painful. And we know that to be true. In the season of Lent, we often think about what we give up. But this year has been a year when we've all given up an awful lot. In Lent, we also perhaps take things up, but perhaps you don't have the energy to do that either. As we journey to Easter through Lent, we're challenged to keep putting our footsteps into the footsteps of Jesus, to keep modelling our lives on his. And today we're thinking about the simple journey, three aspects of wilderness worship that Jesus engaged in, and wonder if they speak to us in these wilderness times. We're going to hear from scripture, and our reading is from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, or 13 even. Jesus is tested in the wilderness. Jesus, full of the Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it's written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Familiar words, I'm sure, to most of us. This week, we're looking at three aspects of wilderness worship that Jesus engaged in. And the first one is solitude. I wonder what you think of when you hear the word solitude. Is that a word that strikes fear in your heart? Well, some of us have had enforced solitude recently, haven't we? Especially those of us who live by ourselves. But there's a big difference between being made to be by ourselves and of wanting to set apart ourselves and to be quiet. I know that we've all had different reactions to this time of enforced solitude, when our normal social company that we're used to isn't there. Nearly everyone who I've spoken to, whether they class themselves as introverts or extroverts, have found aspects of this wilderness apart time to be hard. Especially that lack of social and physical contact with others. How are you with solitude? Jesus would intentionally set himself apart. He would draw himself away from the noise and the hustle and the bustle and perhaps the people to be alone. And the reason he did that was to be alone with the Father and to pray. In our passage, he spends 40 days and nights in enforced solitude, in a lonely place. And Luke tells us of another time in Luke 5 when he did that too. The news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and be healed of their illnesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So Jesus would go to quiet places to find solitude. Was he just wanting to get away from people? Do you ever feel that way when you're just peopled out and you just need to be by yourself? Jesus was often surrounded, as that verse said, by people wanting his touch, wanting his opinion. Was he just having days of compassion fatigue? No. He needed time to recharge his spiritual batteries, to be with the Father, to regain insight, to be connected afresh. One of my favourite Christian writers is the Christian writer Henry Nouwen. He was a Dutch Catholic priest, and he wrote this book, The Way of the Heart. I'm just by my Henry Nouwen section in this part of my office. And he wrote this book about the experience of the desert mothers and fathers, Christians who in the 4th and 5th century deliberately set themselves apart from society in order to reconnect with God. In this book, Nouwen writes about solitude as a transforming experience that brings us close to God. I have a quote. Peter will pop it on the screen. Solitude is not a private therapeutic practice. Rather, it's a place of conversion, a place where the old self dies and the new self is born. In solitude, I get rid of my scaffolding. No friends to talk with, no telephone calls to make, no meetings to attend, no music to entertain, no books to distract. We enter into solitude first of all to meet our God, to be with him and him alone. Jesus spent time alone just to spend time with God. How do you do that? What do you find helpful? Perhaps you can share something that's helpful to you at the moment in the comments. Perhaps you'd like to share something. At the moment, I am loving a couple of apps on my phone, which isn't exactly what Henry Nouwen would recommend. The Lectio 365 app, which is a prayer app, and the Jesuit Pray As You Go prayer app. But neither are silent. What's helpful for you to draw aside to a quiet place that stops the noise, that enables God to be heard when he speaks. We're in Lent and we're encouraged to draw closer to God in this journey to Easter. Is it possible to spend time with God in your week, whatever that looks like, with no agenda, but just to sit with God, to allow him time and space to speak to our souls, so as Nouwen suggests, that brings change and transformation? Why don't you see if you can do that in a new way this week? Solitude can be a place for worship, Jesus teaches us. And so can our second thing, simplicity. Simplicity. The second thing we notice about Jesus in our passage today is that he rejects the things that weigh him down, unnecessary baggage, as it were. Luke 4, 5 to 6 says this. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to them, I'll give you all their authority and splendor. It's been given to me and I can give it to anyone I want to. Jesus is offered the world. It's all yours, Satan says. He's offered something that would seem so tempting, but would cost everything. In all of these tests or temptations that Satan flings at Jesus in this 40-day fast in the wilderness, they're not just challenges to do something he wasn't supposed to do, but they're challenges to Jesus to be something he was not meant to be, something he was not born for, as it were. The devil wasn't tempting Jesus with power and prestige offered by the kingdoms of the world. He's tempting Jesus to worship him and to annex himself from the Father God. He's offered the world, but as that scripture says, it's easy to gain the world but to lose our souls by worshipping something other than God. And so Jesus reminds Satan through scripture that only God should be worshipped. He alone and nothing else should get in the way of our gaze. So what gets in the way of our gaze on God? What tempts you away from our relationship with Jesus in our daily discipleship and our walk with him? I guess for all of us, it's different things. It's busyness, it's interruptions, it's all sorts of things. And in this past year, we've all had times when we've been shown what different priorities people have. At the very beginning of COVID, everybody went a little bit mad. Well, many people went a little bit mad. We saw that, you know, you could not get a toilet roll in West Kirby or Eastham or anywhere for love or money. People bulk bought all the things they thought they needed, from toilet rolls to exercise equipment to canned goods. What does that say about the priorities that folk have? Perhaps in this time you've discovered, in this time away from normal, that your priorities have changed, that you have reevaluated what life looks like. Things that you do differently now. I'm walking every day, something I would never have done before. On my walk the other day, it was like a church meeting. There were so many people I bumped into. So several of you are walking as well. Today, when we think about this simple journey, we ask ourselves, what do we worship when we don't have our gaze on God? What worldly things do we rely on? So much so that perhaps we have to prise our fingers away from them and get our priorities right again. What would that be for you? Wilderness worship might ask us to consider whether we rely too much on things, even good things, instead of being in a place where we trust God. What could that be for you? Jesus stepped out. He took himself to a place where he had nothing to rely on but God, where he could pray and where he could prepare for what is to come, and where he could fast. And that's our third simple worship in the wilderness thing we're thinking about today. Jesus fasted in the wilderness. He went without food for 40 days. My goodness, I would find that hard, nigh on impossible. And right away, the first temptation from Satan, the father of lies, is aiming where it hurts after 40 days without food. Luke 5:3 says this. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." If you are the Son of God, goes right to the heart of the identity issue. If you are the Son of God, if you are who you think God says you are and whose you are. Fasting also says a lot about identity too, about whose we are and who we are. It reminds us that more than food, our lives are sustained by the word of God, by Jesus, by lives lived in the power and the gentleness of the Holy Spirit. Jesus goes without food and he is challenged by Satan and responds again with scripture. He says in Luke 5:4, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." In normal times, all sorts of people fast in Lent. Those who know about what that means, and it's actually now a normal thing to do, whether you know what you're doing or not, whether you believe in Jesus or not. I had a fascinating conversation in Zoom Slimming World the other day when people were horrified that the vicar was not giving up chocolate for Lent, because they all were. It's like, are you spending that time worshipping Jesus? I don't think so. There's all sorts of ways in which we can fast. I know that we've fasted as a church when we've sought God's heart together for a particular issue. And there's all sorts of other biblical fasts. Isaiah 58:6 talks about a fast where people choose to put injustice right. Let me read it to you. "Is not this the kind of fasting I've chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke." That's a type of fast too. And the question that's before us when we're fasting is, what is the thing that we most rely on? If fasting is an identity issue in this part of scripture, the question I'd ask you today is, where do you get your identity from? Is it from what Jesus has said about you, what God says about you? We looked at that earlier on in the year, those titles that we know that Scripture says that we are beloved, that we are children of God? Or is our identity formed from something else? From what we do? From our status? From our relationships? From our social media accounts? From what people think we are? From what we wear or our status? What could you fast from in Lent in a way that draws you closer to God? In a way that helps shape your identity as a child of God? You could fast in a positive way, like Isaiah 58, by helping a homeless person on the street, or by befriending a lonely person at school, or volunteering for a charity that needs help, give to the food bank, stand up for someone who's mistreated. What would that look like for you? Today we've been reminded of the simple journey that Jesus was on as he walked through the wilderness at the beginning of his public ministry. And that simple journey involved solitude, simplicity, and fasting. And remember, the point of this journey is to spend time with God so that Jesus would completely know his identity and what God was calling him to. This is the beginning of the yes to the Father God, the yes to public ministry, the yes to the breaking in of the kingdom of God, the yes that leads in steps all the way to the yes in the Garden of Gethsemane and the yes that ends on a cross. The yes to our sin being laid on his shoulders. The yes to Jesus bearing the weight of that. And the yes to our being forgiven. He needed time to spend alone with God so he knew who he was. And so do we. My challenge to you this week in Lent, in these hard times, is how can we do that? In ways that make sense to you, in ways that don't lay on a burden in already hard times. How can you do that?